This is Don Hussey with Cancer Action Network. You're listening to Loving the Earth, Pollution Free Rising. This morning I have Angela Benedict Dunn, who is one of the staff of the St. Regis Mohawk Environmental Division. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, Don.
Hi. Can you give a real brief introduction so that people will know, you know, who you are when they hear your voice?
I work for the St. Regis Mohawk Tribe Environment Division. I've been working for the Environment Division for about 15 years. I started in water quality and worked my way up to air quality. I am now the program manager of the air quality program and deals with the community, not just outdoor air, but indoor air and just all kinds of air.
Okay. Tell me, what is the philosophy? You know, you're basically, you know, you are part of this environmental division. They have a certain way of looking at air quality and environmental protection and public health. What is the philosophy of the St. Regis Mohawk Tribe Environmental Division concerning pollution prevention?
Yeah, with the Environment Division, we're, you know, part of Akwesasne, the Mohawk Territory, and we try to follow the Thanksgiving address, which deals with the environment, the different types of, you know, air, water, how everything's connected, Mother Earth, Grandmother Moon, everything that we go from there. One of the mission statements for the Environment Division is that we are here to assist Akwesasne in preserving, sustaining, protecting, and enhancing the environment for further generations. We're committed to providing a high quality of life for the Akwesasne community.
Well, it sounds like a beautiful vision and philosophy for, you know, accomplishing this great work. How does the Environmental Division decide what to prioritize among pollution prevention possibilities? Because there truly are so many, you know, different exposures, so many different releases, so many different levels of various contaminants in the air and the food and the water. And how does your part of government decide about what to address first?
Yeah, we look at the community. We see what's going on in the community. And we also look to see what's going on around the community, not just within Akwesasne, but out in the surrounding community. And we look, most of our grants for the Environment Division come from the EPA or governments, like the BIA, the EPA. We also have grants with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We have different grants from different agencies. And we look to see what they are pushing out there. Without the grant dollars, we can't do much on our own. And so we look to the community and see what's going on, and then we look to see what grants are out there. And then we take those grants and we you know, make them our own.
I see.
And this is the issue that we're having. If, you know, like one of the grants I'm working on now is a mobile source outreach grant, and that grant was specific to mobile sources in our area. And so I look to see what was going on there and work the grant out for that.
It's very enlightening to, you know, hear how you go about making these important decisions. Describe for the listeners the benzene study, which was recently conducted at the images.
Yeah, we had heard several years ago that one of the local industries was releasing benzene, and it was a continuous release. And so I was really concerned about that because benzene is a carcinogen. You know, plus it also comes from our gasoline, and we have several gas stations along Route 37 corridor. And so I wanted to do a study to see how we were actually impacted by benzene and other air toxics in the community. And so I found the grant opportunity, worked with Clarkson University, and partnered with them, and we went ahead and took air samples all around Akwesasne, and we did ambient air, we did actual gasoline samples, we did tailpipe samples, just to see which one was actually giving us the most benzene in our community. That was conducted over a 2-year period.
Okay. Now, that's a really important thing to know, just how much of these particular pollutants are present where people can get exposed, certainly in the ambient air supply. It's the general air supply of the outdoor air. People can be breathing, you know, depending on how close they are to these various sources and all these different factors. So what did you find?
We found out that it's more localized. The benzene, you know, it does evaporate into the air and it goes up, you know, and it goes up to the higher levels where we're not actually breathing it from, like, the local industry, which was pretty surprising. And actually, we were getting more of our exposure from mobile sources, from the cars, from the trucks, from, you know, boats and all the recreational vehicles that are around, from pumping the gas, from that.
And so then what pollution prevention measures were started and are currently being implemented to reduce the residents of Aguas Esnes' benzene exposure?
Well, yeah, see, that's where the new mobile source outreach grant that I got, that I received, that's where that comes into play. Now we're starting to look at it, and we're starting to actually educate the community, trying to get them to not idle their cars, trying to get them not to top off their gas tanks, and that reduces benzene exposure.
You also mentioned getting people to air up their tires. I talked to you earlier, and you said about airing up tires, and that would cause less combustion to take place and, you know, move the vehicles around, and that would also reduce the benzene releases, so there'd be less benzene exposure by that route.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's car maintenance. If your car is in really good shape, you know, you change your oil, you keep your tire pressures upright, the car doesn't have to work overtime trying to actually just move down the road.
Yep.
And so it actually reduces the amount of emissions that come out of your tailpipe.
And including benzene.
Yes.
Yep. It's so cool the way there are numerous ways to deal with these things, and I just love seeing how you consider that a problem existed. You know, it became apparent to you that there was possibility of a problem existing, and then you got the data, and now you're using that data to take the next step of changing the amount of emissions and thereby reducing exposure. Has there been very much behavioral education, such as, you know, encouraging people not to, say, run along the highway to do their exercising, not to breathe when they're walking through a parking lot that's filled with, you know, cars idling and this type of thing?
I'm not sure if I understand what you're asking.
Well, see, another way of reducing exposure will be just people being able to make their own decisions about avoiding what's present in the environment. And so, like, say if people were educated not to do their exercising, they're running, they're biking right along busy highways, then they would be breathing less the benzene that was there. See what I mean? Is that kind of education taking place?
Not really in my department.
Okay.
No, we haven't really addressed that type. We don't really have a lot of people doing their exercising and stuff, you know, because of the climate that we're in.
Yep.
A lot of people in the wintertime will go ahead and work out in local health clubs and stuff.
Yep.
And wintertime is probably the worst time because of the cold air, because of the heavy air, it actually stays down.
Oh, really?
And it's actually in our breathing zone longer than it would be in the summertime where it's warm out, where it actually evaporates into the atmosphere.
Well, I'm so glad you said that. I'd never thought of it before and never even, you know, you are just so truly more, you know, knowledgeable than I am about the benzene and where it is at various times and, you know, how the exposures take place. It's really cool to learn that. So thanks a lot for mentioning that. What about, can you share with us your experiences and knowledge regarding pollution prevention education? Anything special that kind of jumps out, you know, just a little bit more kind of, you know, this real personal experience with the pollution prevention education that you've been doing there at Aquas Esnes?
Don't know.
Maybe just a little bit of, like, could you go into more detail about the events that you guys use to teach people there about, say, airing up their tires, and, you know, just some of the more kind of fine detail of your educational work? Because, see, the purpose of this interview and what I'm hoping will result is that other people will learn so much about cancer prevention education and pollution prevention education that they'll feel that they are ready to jump into it themselves, and we'll have a lot more educators around. So anything that you could share about your, you know, truly your personal real experiences with doing this kind of education, that would be very valuable.
Yeah, actually in this area we're really lucky because we have a lot of community support. We have a lot of different activities that go on all year long. One of the major activities we have that the AIR program has been active with is the Wellness Day that takes place in August. And that's a lot of people throughout the community come together, come to this place, and we hand out brochures, we answer questions, we let people know exactly what the programs are that we have, This past year, I actually had a Magic School Bus come up that's been retrofitted with diesel retrofit, and it's an educational bus where the kids got to get on, and the adults, the bigger kids too. They got to get on this bus, and they got to look at different things. The Magic School Bus is from the PBS show, and they worked with Scholastic and EPA and created a book, and then they have created this big bus where people got to come in, and actually Alcoa helped me pay for that to come up here. And that was showcased at the Wellness Day. We also have different events like the Winter Carnival. Akwesasne on the northern side has a Winter Carnival, and we can utilize that also. We have different things that go on in the actual environment division. We're having like a seed and tree giveaway we have every year, and we use that as a way to educate the community on different things that are going on. This year we're having a noxious weed symposium conference going on with the seed and tree giveaway, so we'll be able to get out there. And I utilize some of the students from the Salmon River Central Area, the Messina School District, and from Akwesasne, and utilize them as volunteers to help me go out and educate the community on, you know, making sure your tires are inflated properly and any type of carpooling and just different things like that.
So would you say that in your community, in your particular community, some of the allies that you have, some of the best allies, end up being school students?
Yes, yes. And I'm trying to gear these towards school students only because at 15, 14, 15, 16, 17, they're becoming new drivers.
Right.
So if I hit them when they're just starting out, you know, they'll carry on this tradition of not idling and not topping off and, you know, knowing that, you know, your tire pressure is where to find it and everything, where you, sometimes they don't get that when they do their, like, driver's ed training and stuff.
Yep. Well, just tell me a little more detail. How did you go about finding these students? You know, how, you know, what worked for you? Because I'm sure that a lot of people listening, they would just think, well, how would I ever get any high school students to cooperate with me in doing some pollution prevention? How did that turn out? How did that come about?
Yeah, well, it kind of helps that I have a 15-year-old myself.
Okay.
And so I just go to him and, you know, his friends and stuff. And actually, Facebook, MySpace, I don't do Twitter, but I do the MySpace and Facebook only because I'm monitoring him. So I go on there and I know all his friends.
Huh.
And he's had these friends for several years, so that was easy for me.
Well, that sounds
somebody else
perfect.
Who doesn't have a teenager at home would be able to go to their local schools and say, listen, you know, and find a teacher that is really big on environmental education. Say, listen, this is what I plan on doing. And a lot of times you'll find a lot of teachers that know all the kids and say, well, these kids would be perfect for this, and they'll go that way.
The way it's worked for me, and it hasn't worked as well, I don't think, as well as how it's worked for you, but you know, this like personal inside track here. So what we've done is gone to schools that have environmental clubs and then made presentations and then gotten to know some of the students and hoping, you know, that they turn out to be good allies in doing this kind of stuff. So there's a million different ways it can get done, I think.
Yeah.
What are the responses that you're receiving from those whom you seek to educate? You know, see the students, say the, you know, the people at the gas stations and all these different places where you're bringing these messages about reducing benzene exposure by reducing the releases. What's the response?
I haven't. I don't believe that I've had a huge response from them. I don't know if it's just taking them time. You know, the more I say different things, and I'm like constantly trying to push things out there and let people know, you know, that you're wasting gas, you're wasting money, you're wasting this. You know, let's try to do something for our kids. And you try to make it really personal because, you know, people have children and they know that their children are going to have children. And so I really try to push it, like, through the Thanksgiving address and through, you know, the Mohawk traditions that you're looking for the next seven generations. You know, you really need to, what am I trying to say? You really need to look to the future.
Yes.
You know, that's the reason why we're here. You know, we have our kids, and we're trying to really make it better for them.
Well, you do have such a wonderful community. I used to come up to the social dances there at Kanawaki, And they felt so good to me. I'd never felt anything like that before. It was truly wonderful. And I remember your winter carnivals. I never participated. I never went to the wellness day, I don't believe. But those surely are beautiful parts of community to interact with when you're bringing this change as far as reducing releases and exposure to, you know, chemicals that cause disease, and that we just end up using, and then there's that downside, this disease, you know, connection. And so good to have a community like that to do that work in. I truly wish, I've often felt that it'll be much more fun and much more just good feeling to be in a community like that to do this kind of work than to be in the kind of communities that I am in here in, you know, the other part of USA. And so, you know, I just want to, like, express my, you know, basically admiration and jealousy, for lack of a more positive word, as far as, like, what you guys are living with, you know, on your path.
Yeah. Well,
well, is there anything else?
Come up for one of the wellness days, because it is a very spectacular event.
I would love to do that.
You're more than welcome to come out. It's not just for Akwesasne. I mean, we invite the surrounding communities to come out for something like that.
Sure. So maybe if you could tell me one more thing. How can people access the Thanksgiving address? Is that on the web anywhere?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe put in a search. I have a book that helps me.
Okay.
I wasn't brought up in this community, and so I moved here later. And so that helps me out a lot. There is.
But what's the name of the book?
The book is called Words That Come Before All Else. It's Environmental Philosophies of the Haudenosaunee. It was developed by the Haudenosaunee Environmental Task Force, and I believe it's available at the Mohawk Nation office that is located on Route 37 next to where the tribal buildings are. I believe that they have copies for sale there, and I'm not sure. I don't believe it is online.
Okay.
But
and so the title again is?
Words That Come Before All Else.
And that includes the Thanksgiving address that you guys look to for, you know, guidance in doing environmental protection.
It's based on the Thanksgiving address.
Okay.
And it goes through everything, like the people, the earth, everything.
Well, it sounds like a must-read. You know, it'd be really good for people to get into that. And I'm just finding so much. I talk to Native American elders, and I talk to people that, you know, do your kind of work with the Native American, you know, the First Nations government. And there's such a good vibe there. There's such a strength and a solid soundness. And this, it makes it very clear that there's hope and that progress is being made and will be made, you know, in the future. And I'm just so happy that you guys are sharing your, you know, minds and knowledge and experiences and your vision for how that we can all do better in protecting the earth. It's so important. I think it's the most important thing that has come along, and we're just, you know, very, very fortunate to be living this time when it first became apparent that it was very, very important. And just a very exciting time to be doing this kind of stuff. Well, thank you so much, Angela. You've been a great interview, and I'm just really excited about getting it out there on the internet and then having people be able to readily have access to it. Hope you have a, you know, a great 2010.
Thank you very much.
Bye.